Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Good afternoon and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me, wherever you may be joining me from around the world, as we're right here in the United States, as well as wherever you might be. As you know, if you listen often, I am a traditionally trained naturopathic doctor, and I address natural medicine from a natural or Christian perspective, rather. And be sure to join me every week right here on bluezonewellness.org from 4 to 5 p.m. That's from 4 to 5 p.m. You can also check me out at Facebook at naturedoc.com, or you can also follow me on Twitter at Blue Zone Wellness. That's Twitter at Blue Zone Wellness. Again, thank you for listening today. We have a very interesting and exciting and informative show for you. Another special invite to my friends over from listening in Costa Rica, as well as wherever you may be listening here in the U.S. and around the world. All right, today we have, as I said earlier, a very, very interesting show. And the show is basically, if you're looking at it online, it was entitled These Vitamins Reduce and Prevent Flu. And so in our first segment, the Week in Natural News Review segment, I'll be discussing and analyzing four different articles. And we'll be looking at a couple that deal with flu. We'll be looking at how the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta basically admits to the ineffectiveness of the flu vaccine. We'll be talking about a few vitamins that are beneficial for helping to prevent the flu and also for speeding up the healing of the disease of the flu once you have it. It's ideally not to have it in the first place. A couple of weeks back, we talked about how to actually deal with the flu with the herb elderberry. And today we're going to look at some of the vitamins, seeing as how this flu epidemic has been roaring through the nation here in the U.S. Then we also have another article that talks about how surgical ovary removal can actually lead to cognitive decline. So that's if you're a woman between certain ages if you've had your ovaries removed for whatever reason, there could be some cognitive. But there are some studies actually that show a significant amount of cognitive decline. Who would have thought that by removing your ovaries, it would affect your ability, your memory, and your other mental capacity? But we're going to talk about that as well. And then closing out the Week in Natural Health Review, we're going to talk about one of my favorite minerals that actually can help reduce cancer significantly. One of my favorite minerals. And we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to move over into our second segment, which is going to be our Healing Foods segment. And today we're going to talk about beet, the ability of beet to help with diseases, especially if you're anemic. Beet is going to be one of your friendly foods. We're going to talk about beet, and then when we move from that into our final segment, the healing herb supplement segment, we're going to continue our discussion on vitamins and how they benefit the body. Today we'll be moving into vitamin D. We've talked about vitamin D before. It's one of the most effective and efficient vitamins. We're going to be talking about the therapeutic amounts to take, the recommended daily allowances, and the optimal daily amount to take, as well as we're just going to discuss in general the benefit of it, how to recognize deficiencies, and some of the foods in which you can find vitamin D in. And we've talked about before that we have a whole segment on the difference between vitamin D3 and D2. D3 is superior. You get D3 primarily. The best form of getting D3 is from the sunshine. We've talked about that repeatedly on here. So we're going to right now, before we get started, we're going to take about a minute break, and we're going to come back after this minute break, and we're going to jump right into our first article talking about and discussing the article by Ethan A. Huff from naturalnews.com. It's entitled "CDC Admits to Flu Vaccine's Ineffectiveness as a Huge Influx of Flu Victims Fills Hospitals Across the Country." We'll be back in just a minute. And as we come back, we hope that you will just hang on, and we're going to get right into this show.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net, and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening in today on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. I'm coming from you from right outside of Orlando, Florida. Originally Orlando, Florida. And if you're listening and you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We're also at Blue Zone, or rather blogtalkradio.com/blogtalkradio. There you can chat with us if you would like. Send a question in through chat, you can do so. If you don't want to call in. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to get right into this article. This first article, which is, again, it was published this week. And if you're a new listener, what we do in this segment is that we address articles that have come out during the week. Therefore, we call it a weekend afternoon review segment, and we discuss and analyze a few articles. This week we have 4 articles, so we have quite a few, so we need to go ahead and get started. This one is entitled, CDC Admits to Flu Vaccines Ineffectiveness as a Huge Influx of Flu Victims Fills Hospitals Across the Country. That was published on January the 25th, a couple of days ago, by Ethan A. Huff, a staff writer at naturalnews.com. And he starts off the article by saying, untold thousands of people from nearly all 50 U.S. states have continued to flood hospital emergency rooms in recent weeks due to widespread outbreaks of flu-like symptoms. And because many of these people have already been vaccinated for the flu this season, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is basically having to admit that the flu shot is not nearly as effective as we have all been told it is. But be sure to get it anyway, they're telling us, he says. So here is the very first thing that jumps out at us in this article is the fact that though there are people who've already been vaccinated for the flu, and yet many of them seem to also still be getting the flu, and therefore they're going to doctors and hospitals, etc., with flu-like symptoms. He goes on to say in this article further, as reported by CBS News, the most recent statistics show that at least 24 states and New York City are experiencing high activity of influenza-like illness, and another 16 states are reporting moderate activity, despite the warmer-than-normal winter in many places, he says, throughout the country. And since it is so early into the so-called, quote, flu season, officials are scrambling to make sense of the situation, especially as it is becoming painfully obvious that flu shots simply do not work, end quote. So the author here is pointing out some information showing how the CDC is all but admitting that the flu shot is nowhere near as effective as it's been marketed as being. And he goes on to point out some statistics. But first he says about 65% of adults 65 years of age and older get a flu shot every year. He says, but this age group continues to be the most hard hit by influenza. So again, he points out how about 65% of adults that are 65 or older get flu shots every year, and yet this is the number one group that they're hit hardest, or they're hit very hard each year by the flu. So So you would think that if well over 50%, 15%, over 50%, 65% are getting the flu shot, and yet, and they get it every year, and yet each and every year they're hit hard by the flu. In fact, if you hear the news reports and some of the reports on the radio, they always point out that the very, very young and the elderly are at the most danger with respect to the flu. And yet more and more elderly are getting the shot, and yet they're still being hit harder and harder. And so at some point, common sense would have to take over, and we would have to ask ourselves, why is this occurring? And he goes on, the author in his article goes on to point out further in his article, he says, even children are falling victim to the flu, and I'm quoting from him, as more than 20 children from across the U.S., according to Fox News, have died in recent weeks due to flu complications. As reported by various news sources, many of these children and others have been vaccinated for the flu, illustrating its ineffectiveness, end quote. He goes on to say further that these early vaccine effectiveness estimates underscore, and he's quoting from morbidity and mortality we could report. He says, quote, these early estimates of vaccine effectiveness that some vaccinated persons would become infected with influenza, admitted the CDC researchers in a new study that was published in the journal Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Says that basically they admitted, he's saying, that in this report, they're admitting that some people essentially, even though they get the flu shot, are actually going to still come down with the flu regardless. He says in this same report, they admit that the flu vaccines are also only about 60% effective at preventing the flu based on infection rates in recent years. Now, although their numbers are 60%, he goes on to point out further how these numbers can't possibly be correct. He goes on to say, as Natural News reported back in 2011, the data that the CDC is using to claim a 60% effectiveness rate for the flu shot is largely misrepresented. Then he goes on to say further, only about 2.7 in 100 adults gets the flu shot every year on average, according to the Lancet published meta-analysis that the CDC is referring to with its 60% effectiveness claim. He says, but when you introduce vaccines into the picture, that number only drops by 1.5%. In other words, flu vaccines have an effectiveness rate of only about 1.5%, according to the Lancet study that health authorities now routinely use to claim that flu vaccines are effective. So when you take into account possible margins of error and other discrepancies, this article points out, the true effectiveness of the flu shot is negligible based on all available data. And what this means, he says, is that the CDC and various other major mouthpieces for public health are struggling to maintain the flu vaccine misrepresentation, as no matter how many people get the flu shot, flu outbreaks only continue to intensify. So if anything, this shows, author says, that widespread malnutrition, lack of vitamin D, and toxic environments and not a lack of flu shots is to blame for the current epidemic. So basically, he's pointing out to the study that was reported in The Lancet, which is a medical journal, a very respectable medical journal, that basically based upon their studies, which the professionals, experts who boost the flu shot, who say that the flu shot is actually 60% effective. In reality, when you look at the true numbers and not the modified numbers, if you will, the flu shot, when you look at the number of people who don't even take the flu shot compared to those that actually take it, and the number who actually get the flu of the ones who take it, you can see about roughly less than a 2% effectiveness rate, which is pretty dismal. It's a waste of time, of resources, and who knows the side effects down the road of some of these flu shots. Again, that article came from naturalnews.com. It was published on January 25th of this year. It's entitled CDC admits the flu vaccines ineffectiveness as huge influx of flu victims fill hospitals across the country. Again, from naturalnews.com. We're going to move into our second article, which is also from naturalnews.com. And it's something we've been talking about here in the past few weeks with the flu outbreak. And this one is entitled, it was also published on from naturalnews.com. It was published on the 25th of January. It's entitled Vitamins Can Reduce the Symptoms and Duration of the Flu and Provide Natural Immunity from Viral and Bacterial Infection. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I covered the herb elderberry, and we were talking about the capability of elderberry to treat the flu and the cold, etc. And it is actually one of the most efficacious herbs that you can use for the flu and for colds, especially when you catch it early. And this article kind of addresses some vitamins, and not only vitamins, it addresses some other things as well. So even though it says vitamins, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some of the things that are not really vitamins, like zinc. Zinc is actually a mineral, but they mentioned zinc in the article. So we're going to talk about that. The article starts off by saying, research has shown that vitamins taken before a flu can build immunity and prevent the flu. Then taken during the flu, vitamins can actually shorten the duration and also mitigate the symptoms as well as the suffering. And many of these vitamins are available from readily available foods, and some need to be added to our diet by supplements, is how this article starts off. And it mentions vitamin C. We've talked about the benefit of vitamin C, but the article points out how research has shown that vitamin C taken daily can actually reduce the symptoms of the flu and even shorten its duration. So vitamin C is found in great abundance, as many of you know, in citrus fruits and berries and cherries and red peppers and tomatoes, as well as in broccoli. And research showed that taking 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every 6 hours effectively relieved or even prevented flu symptoms. Now, especially with the first signs of a cold, I would even say at the very first signs of a cold, say the tingling of a sore throat, that you begin to take 500 to 1,000 milligrams, probably 1,000 milligrams an hour for the first 5 to 6 hours, and also maybe even 2 to 3,000 international units of vitamin D during that first three to six hours during that acute stage. And the article goes on to say further that research showed that taking 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every 6 hours effectively relieved or even prevented flu symptoms. So to stop the symptoms, it's talking about the availability or the effectiveness of vitamin C. Especially, I also recommend taking ester C vitamin C, and if possible, vitamin C with bioflavonoids, which is probably going to be your most efficient vitamin C, effective and powerful vitamin C that you're going to get your hands on to take. Also, the article points out further how vitamin C also reduces the risk of developing a cold by approximately 50%. And several forms of vitamin C are now produced that don't cause digestive discomfort. And it also points out, the article points out, look for buffered C or liposomal types. It goes on to another vitamin / mineral that this article points out is beneficial to help with colds and flus. It's actually NAC, or it's called N-acetylene cysteine. NAC was shown to prevent the flu by 50% back in 1997 in some research. And the dosage used was about 600 milligrams taken twice daily, so that's 1,200 milligrams a day. NAC, the article goes on to point out as well, heals the lungs and restores lung cell fluid, making it an important nutrient in treating chronic asthma as well as acute respiratory infections. Next, it goes on, the article points out, and it talks about zinc. And it points out that zinc works wonders on viral sore throats. And he points out using a zinc lozenge every 2 to 3 hours can actually help shorten the duration of your cold symptoms. And the zinc sprays can also help target the back of the throat to apply zinc where it's needed. As I said earlier, that's usually one of the first signs of a cold that's coming on is a sore throat or tingling in the throat, etc. Now, he also pointed out probiotics, and he points out that in the study of 326 children in China, probiotics demonstrated the ability to reduce the incidence of coughs, fevers, and runny noses, and the illness duration itself was shortened by 32%. Now, in this particular study that he points out, the author points out here, the children were given probiotics in milk, Acidophilus, Lactobacillus, Acidophilus, etc. And where as you, if you listened to me before, you would know that I advocate using probiotics, but not animal-based probiotics, which that does exist, just so you know. The next one is beta-carotene and vitamin A. Beta-carotene, as we talked about last week, is a precursor to vitamin A. So when you take beta-carotene, the liver actually turns it, takes it, and converts it over to vitamin A. And as the article also points out, it is used to build cell walls as well as the lining of your lungs. Vitamin A is also needed to help increase the amount of infection-fighting cells and to neutralize free radicals. So vitamin A actually helps increase your immunity by increasing the white blood cells that fight disease. So vitamin A and beta carotene is extremely important, extremely, extremely important in helping to shut down a cold or a flu infection. Next, the last one that this particular article mentions is vitamin E. And the author points out that daily supplementation with vitamin E actually stimulates your immune system, and vitamin E is needed to produce the B lymphocytes that then make antibodies to fight viruses and bacteria. So taking vitamin E daily during flu season can actually help prevent the flu. So you have vitamin E, beta carotene / vitamin A, probiotics, zinc, vitamin C, and NAC. This is can be a very, very effective combination. And this is not exhaustive. There are other vitamins that you can use, but these, like vitamin D3, is not mentioned. But vitamin E, many people don't think about vitamin E being taken to help prevent colds, but as this article pointed out, it can. And beta carotene, most people just think of vitamin C itself is very, very powerful when taken in correct dosages and at the right time. It can actually prevent the flu or cold from ever setting in, or if it does set in, you can actually have very, very beneficial results in shortening the duration and pretty much knocking the symptoms out. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. You listen to Blue Zone Wellness. If you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. Also, you can visit us at the chat. We have our chat room open at blogtalkradio.com/Blue Zone Wellness there. You may be listening. If you're listening on bluezonewellness.org or on faith3ministries.com, you would have to go over to blogtalkradio.com to put a question or a comment in the chat room. Again, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. We're going to move into our next article. And if you are a female, or if you are married to a female, or if you have a daughter, niece, or whoever that is, a female, and they are considering having their ovaries removed, or if they had their ovaries removed, this would be some information that I'm sure they would like to know about. And this is an article, again, taken from naturalnews.com by staff writer David Gutierrez, and it was published also this week on the 27th, earlier today. And it's entitled Surgical Ovary Removal Leads to Cognitive Decline. And David Gutierrez starts off by saying, women who have their ovaries surgically removed before menopause experience earlier and more severe cognitive decline, according to a study conducted by researchers from Harvard Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital, and due to be presented at the 65th annual meeting of the American Academy of Neurology in San Diego. Now, the article goes on to point out how these researchers from Harvard Medical School and Brigham and Women's Hospital studied 1,837 postmenopausal women between the ages of 53 and 100 who were taking part in the Memory and Aging Project at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. The researchers, according to the article, recorded that the age at which women began menstruating, how many years they had menstruated, whether they had used hormone replacement therapy, and for how long, if so, and whether they had undergone natural or surgical menopause. Surgical menopause refers to the surgical removal of both of your ovaries before the onset of natural menopause, and it's actually commonly performed along with a hysterectomy. And if you've had a hysterectomy, or if you are close to someone who has, you know that this is often done, where when they go in, they will say, "Well, since we're in, we'll just take the ovaries since we're taking the uterus anyway." That's not always, but most times, quite frequently, that's what happens. And so one third of the women in the study that we're discussing here had actually undergone this procedure. The researchers found that the earlier a woman underwent surgical menopause, the faster she experienced a decline in overall thinking abilities and memory, particularly memory relating to time and place, and long-term memory relating to ideas and concepts. So no such association was seen between cognitive decline and the onset of natural menopause. So here we have another side effect of unnecessary surgeries, and many times these surgeries are unnecessary. I would say probably the majority of the time these surgeries are unnecessary. Many times these surgeries are there for money-making ventures as opposed to really, really being needed. Of course, there are times when it may be needed, but the majority of the time they're not needed. Well, that's neither here nor there in terms of discussion, though. In terms of discussion of whether it was needed or not, there's going to be some cognitive decline, and that's what we're talking about here, and significant cognitive decline, according to the study. The author went on to point out further that, in addition, the brains of women who underwent surgical menopause at a younger age had significantly more of the plaques associated with Alzheimer's disease than those of women who had undergone the procedure later in life. So the younger age of surgical menopause was not associated, rather, with overall risk of Alzheimer's disease, however. So basically, the earlier, if you've had surgical menopause, if you've had your ovaries taken out and to some degree your uterus, but here you're talking mainly about your ovaries, the likelihood that you're going to lose both short and long-term memory is significantly increased. The article went on to point out further that researchers have known for quite some time that many women report short-term cognitive problems following menopause, both natural and surgical. But at a recent study conducted by researchers from the University of Rochester and published in the journal Menopause found that women between the ages of 40 years old and 60 years old who in their first year after menopause scored significantly lower on tests of motor function, verbal learning, verbal memory, working memory, and attention than premenopausal women, and the effects were largest for verbal learning and memory. So, ladies, if you've had your uterus taken out and or your ovaries, and you're having problems with your memory, having problems with your short-term, long-term memory, and some other cognitive issues, cognitive decline in general, you may have your answer there in these studies that have come out recently. The article writer goes on to say that the researchers believe that this effect is caused by a certain drop in the levels of estrogen, which plays a critical role in cognition and memory. This hypothesis is supported by the fact that the researchers in the surgical menopause study found that women, he says, who had undergone hormone replacement therapy had a slower rate of cognitive decline, and yet, though, they were not recommending regular hormone therapy. Maybe some natural hormone therapy, but under no circumstances would I recommend you take regular hormone therapy, drug-based hormone therapy. The article pointed out further that in the months after a woman has her last period, hormonal changes are most abrupt, and this was according to the lead searcher of the Rochester study, Pauline Mackey. In the case of natural menopause, cognitive changes are temporary. So here's the difference. If you had natural menopause and you would have some cognitive decline, but the changes are temporary and they do not appear to be linked to the risk of dementia. According to this new study, the changes associated with surgical menopause are actually more long-term than those associated with natural menopause. And, of course, as the article writer here pointed out, as I did, due to the severe health risk associated with hormone replacement therapy, the researchers did not recommend it as a treatment for these symptoms. And then he quotes the lead researcher, at this time, there's no indication to use hormone replacement therapy for the sole treatment of memory problems in natural or surgical menopause. So here you have it from that article, again, entitled Surgical Ovary Removal Leads to Cognitive Decline. So that is not something if you don't just have to have it done. And usually in those cases, it's usually hormonal issues, dietary issues, sometimes stress issues, and that can be taken care of to bring the body back into balance. Because even if you chop and cut these ovaries and organs out of your body, if you're not dealing with the underlying cause of what put the body in a state to where you feel that you have to have these cut out, or what conditions put your body in a state to where these organs are not functioning to their capacity. By cutting them out, you're still not dealing with the underlying cause, because as we say on here, there are the laws of health, and as we say on here, you have the cell which makes up the tissue, and the tissue forms the organ, and the organ forms the body, and the body is made up of systems. So just by cutting out the organ, what you've simply done is cut out a group of cells, essentially. Be they cells that make up the uterus, or be they cells that make up the pancreas, or whatever it is. You just cut you've taken out a group of highly specialized cells in some respect, but you've not addressed the issue of the body overall, of what put those cells in a state to where the organ became sick, or the organ became diseased. And if you didn't deal with the underlying cause, cutting it out is not going to do anything else. It's not going to do much of anything overall. So you're going to see that some issues manifest in another organ in the body in a different disease, so-called disease, because it was never dealt with. It was just cut away. Again, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening. We're going to go into our final article in this first segment. This article is from Mercola.com. And it is entitled, How This Important Mineral Reduces Your Risk of Cancer. How This Important Mineral Reduces Your Risk of Cancer. Now, this is my favorite mineral, and this mineral is actually magnesium. Just as an aside, since we were just talking about the uterus and the ovaries, etc. Ladies, if you're having PMS, premenstrual syndrome pain, one of the best things you can do to help stop that pain is to take this mineral, magnesium. I suggest taking a magnesium calcium liquid, and maybe you can take either 1 tablespoon or 2 tablespoons, and typically in about 20 minutes, any pain that you're having, menstrual cramp pain, will pretty much will stop, usually in about 20 minutes. But you still need to deal with the underlying cause there, which is probably estrogen dominance. And so, as Dr. Mercola starts off in this particular article, he says, your diet, and I agree with him 100%, is one of, if not the most powerful ally you have to help you reduce your cancer risk. Countless natural compounds and a variety of whole foods and spices have anti-cancer properties, which is why eating a varied diet is so important. Among the latest research is a study that found the consumption of magnesium-rich foods in particular may be a cancer prevention strategy worth considering. So basically, Dr. Mercola points out, in light of current research about magnesium and other nutrients, if you have cancer, one of the strategies that you may consider using is including high-level foods that contain high levels or high amounts of magnesium in them. This is one of the things about any cancer treatment, any cancer program, as you heard me say on here before, it needs to be based on those laws of health that have been given to us by our Creator. They can't be improved upon. We talk about eating foods in harmony with the colors of the rainbow. Those laws of health are trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. These laws of health are what will give you health and wellness. They can't be improved upon. They were given us by our Creator. A scientific application of these laws will cure or prevent essentially any disease that you can come into contact with. Now, Dr. Mercola goes on to say, he cites a study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. He said that this study showed higher intakes of dietary magnesium were associated with a lower risk of colorectal tumors. He says results from the meta-analysis indicated that for every 100 milligram increase in magnesium intake, the risk of colorectal tumor decreased by 13%, while the risk of colorectal cancer was lowered by 12%. That's pretty significant. Think about that for a second. For every 100 milligram increase in magnesium intake, that we have, the risk of colorectal tumor decreases by 13%, while the risk of colorectal cancer is lowered by 12%. Then the researchers noted further that magnesium's anti-cancer effects may be related to its ability to reduce insulin resistance, which may positively affect the development of tumors. They noted further in this study that the consumption, and I'm quoting, of magnesium-rich foods may be a new avenue to explore further in the search for cancer prevention strategies. Green leafy vegetables like spinach, Dr. Mercola points out, and Swiss chard are excellent sources of magnesium, as are some beans, some nuts, some seeds like almonds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, and sesame seeds, and avocados, which we talked about last week in our healing food section, are also a very good source. Surveys suggest that many Americans, though, are not getting enough magnesium from their diet alone, and as the National Institutes of Health Office of Dietary Supplements states, quote, dietary surveys suggest that many Americans do not get recommended amounts of magnesium. There is concern that many people may not have enough body stores of magnesium because dietary intake may not be high enough. Having enough body stores of magnesium may be protective against disorders such as cardiovascular disease and immune dysfunction. So here, the National Institutes of Health Office of Dietary Supplements even points out that having the correct amounts of magnesium in the body can actually help protect you and protect me from cardiovascular diseases, which is the number one killer, as well as help prevent immune dysfunction. Now the question becomes, are you and I getting enough magnesium? And according to the authorities, there's concern that we are not getting enough magnesium. So in order to ensure we're getting enough, we first need to be sure we're eating a varied whole food diet. And this is when you hear me talk about the law of health of diet. This is what I'm referring to. The law of health of diet is to go as closely back as possible to man's original diet given in the book of Genesis. I believe that as a Christian naturopath, I believe that the Creator created the body. I believe that He knows how the body functions. It's almost as if Ford or Toyota built the car, that car will come with an owner's manual, and the builders of the car will know better how to keep that car in top running condition, optimally. So if the Creator then created us and He gave us a particular diet for fuel, which was what we call a vegan diet, that's the optimal diet, which is the perfect diet, it's almost like going out and buying a Mercedes-Benz or buying a Lexus, and it tells you to put only Supreme fuel in the gas tank, and you put regular fuel in the gas tank, you're going to have problems. And so it's the same thing, is that if the Creator of this highly advanced vehicle that we've been given, our bodies, tells us to put this type of fuel in it, it would behoove us to do so if we want to maintain and improve our health. And so when I talk about the health law of diet, there are a lot of subcategories, one being following the diet of Genesis. Secondly, eating a variety of foods. This is why many times a lot of vegetarians and vegans may find themselves in problems because they don't eat a varied enough diet to get all the nutrients from eating the varied amount of fruits, nuts, vegetables, and grains, as well as exercising and following the rest of those laws of health. There are also other factors, too, that can make us prone to magnesium deficiency outside of eating bad foods. And as Dr. Mercola points out in this article, we're going to go over some of these other things that can actually put us in a state of magnesium deficiency. He points out that an unhealthy digestive system, which impairs your body's ability to absorb magnesium. A lot of people may have Crohn's disease, leaky gut syndrome, etc., IBS, some of these other bowel diseases that causes problems in their being able to assimilate magnesium into the body. And he also points out next is unhealthy kidneys, which contribute to excessive loss of magnesium in the urine, can lead to magnesium deficiency. Diabetes, especially if it's poorly controlled and leading to increased magnesium loss in the urine. Alcoholism, up to 60%, he points out, of alcoholics have low blood levels of magnesium. your age. Older adults are more likely to be magnesium deficient because absorption decreases with age, and the elderly are more likely to take medications also that can actually interfere with absorption. Also, certain medications, diuretics, which are given for high blood pressure, hypertension, antibiotics, and medications used to treat cancer can all result in magnesium deficiency. So here's just some of the things that can affect us in the levels of magnesium in our bodies. Additionally, he says, Dr. Mercola goes on to point out, if any of these conditions apply to you, you may want to have your magnesium levels checked to ensure you're not deficient. However, most people can keep their levels in the healthy range by eating a varied diet, including plenty of dark green leafy vegetables. That said, he points out, the levels of magnesium in your food are dependent on the levels of magnesium in the soil where they're grown. Organic foods may have more magnesium, as most fertilizers used on conventional farm relies heavily on nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium instead of magnesium. So ideally, eat plenty of organic leafy green vegetables, nuts, and seeds every day to keep your magnesium stores replenished. Green vegetable juice can also be beneficial. So here, he goes on to point out further. He says, Dr. Mercola points out, I typically drink 1 pint to 1 quart of fresh green vegetable juice daily, and it is one of my primary sources of magnesium. If you were interested in using supplements, most likely magnesium threonate is one of the best sources of magnesium, as it seems to penetrate cell membranes, including the mitochondria, which results in higher energy levels. And additionally, it also penetrates the blood-brain barrier and seems to do wonders to treat and prevent dementia and improve memory. So it's interesting when you listen to the words of Dr. Mercola as it applies to the science, we find out rather quickly that magnesium and the foods that he recommends is extremely in line with what we read in Genesis of the original diet. The reason being is because science is going to always fall in line with what the Creator has given us, true science. Ultimately, we may go off some, but when the evidence comes out, it's always going to be in line with what the Creator has given us. Finally, we'll look at we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to finish out this final segment, and we're going to move right into our healing food segment. We went a little longer in this segment today, and we did so purposely, but we'll have time to get through our healing food segment, and we'll close it out with our healing supplement. We'll be back after this brief message. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets Blog.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for listening. We're now about the last 15 minutes of the show. What we're going to do here is we're going to finish up our discussion about magnesium. Then we're going to pivot over into our healing food, which is beet. Basically, in this last article that we were dealing with, Dr. Mercola was just mentioning the importance. He goes on in this last section to mention the importance about magnesium and other foods and why we don't hear about the healing properties of these foods when it comes to cancer, since how we're talking about how magnesium can actually help reduce cancer. He points out, he says, the healing, and I'm quoting from him, the healing restorative power of natural substances like vegetables has been researched and known for some time, but remains largely obscured and overshadowed by the massive marketing of pharmaceutical drugs, which focus on toxic chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery for cancer treatment. This may be precisely why nearly everyone reading this is familiar with chemo, but a far smaller percentage will be aware of these safe, natural, and potentially groundbreaking cancer treatments that receive precious little, if any, media attention. And then he points out curcumin. And we've talked about curcumin here on Blue Zone Wellness before. He points out how the most active component in the curry spice, turmeric. And we talked about turmeric and how curcumin is the most active component in it that we've been able to discover so far, at least. He says, among all nutrients, curcumin has the most evidence-based literature supporting its use against cancer. Researchers have found that curcumin can affect more than 100 different pathways once it gets into a cell. Then he also points out, too, cream-containing eggplant extract, known as BEC and BEC5, which appears to eliminate most non-melanoma skin cancers in several weeks' time. I haven't most people ever heard of these things. Thirdly, he points out vitamin D, which we've talked about before. He says, optimizing your skin's natural production of vitamin D from unsafe sun exposure is important for cancer prevention and treatment. Vitamin D increases the programmed self-constructed destruction of mutated cells, which, if allowed to replicate, could lead to cancer. Reduces the spread and reproduction of cancer cells, causes cells to become differentiated, because cancer cells usually like differentiation, and reduces the growth of new blood vessels from pre-existing ones, which is a step in the transition of dormant tumors during cancers. So that vitamin D does all of that, D3 specifically. Then he points out that there are, in fact, over 600 natural substances, many of them in food, that have shown promise in treating and or preventing cancer and even multi-drug resistant forms of malignancy. And so here we have not only magnesium, but a few others that he points out in this article. Again, you can find that article at Mercola.com. And it's entitled, How This Important Mineral Reduces Your Risk of Cancer. So that's magnesium actually can reduce your risk of cancer. Now, as we talk about, I go over it now into our healing food section. We're going to look at the food beet. We covered beet a long time back, maybe last year in February. But as new research comes out and new things come out, we sometimes address these foods again, or sometimes I don't have the time to give all of the information that we may have on it, but most people know what beets are. They know the color, and if you've ever eaten a beet, and either in your urine or in your stool, you pass out what appeared to be blood. That's really a good thing. According to a study carried out at the University of Sheffield, red urine or feces after eating beets occurs in about 10 to 14% of the population, and it's actually is more frequent in individuals who actually have an iron deficiency or difficulty with intestinal absorption of iron. So, like I said earlier, don't be surprised, or if you are surprised by a red elimination, you should be grateful, because this plant has warned of actually a possible lack of iron or other digestive problems that you're having there. So, one of the best things about beets. Let's look at some of the nutrients that beets actually contain. Beets contain fiber, contain minerals, carbohydrates, fat, protein, and water, and it has vitamin A, vitamin B1, B2, niacin, B6, folate. They also contain vitamin C, vitamin E, calcium, magnesium. We just finished talking about magnesium. They contain also iron, zinc, and so here you see it's a food just packed with nutrients, and that the Creator has put into this food. Beets are very, very, very beneficial if you have anemia. The anti-anemic action of red beets is actually well known and has been described by Dr. Schneider. Dr. Schneider points out how the iron content and vitamin C content, which facilitates the absorption of that mineral, are quite modest and alone do not explain why beets are actually so powerful in their treatment of anemia. And it is probably, they think, some unidentified component that stimulates the production of blood cells in the bone marrow. So basically, what beet does is it actually helps stimulate the production of red blood cells in the bone marrow. And for people who are anemic, this is crucial, very crucial. And so they're by drinking from 50 to 100 milliliters of raw, freshly prepared beet juice before meals twice a day actually provides the greatest anti-anemic effect. So if you're anemic, by drinking 50 to 100 milliliters of raw, freshly prepared beet juice before meals can actually give you a lot of benefit, or has been shown to have the greatest benefit. And some of the research shows that this is particularly indicated when a patient does not respond well to iron treatment, which is the case in anemia caused by low blood production in the bone marrow, or it's called hypoplastic anemia. Now, beets are also, we've talked about the importance of the pH level. Your body, your health is going to depend largely on the pH. If the pH is consistently acid, you're going to have health issues. If it's consistently alkaline, not too overly alkaline, but consistently a little bit more alkaline than acid, you're generally going to have good health. Beets, high levels of mineral salts, particularly potassium and calcium and magnesium, explain why they have an alkalizing effect on the body, and they are highly recommended in cases of gout because of the increase in uric acid levels in the blood and a high-fat, low-vegetable diet together. If you have gout, which is basically arthritis, uric acid usually manifests itself in the big toe or the great toe, as some people call it. Uric acid accumulates in the joints, and the pain is unbearable, according to most sufferers of it. One of the natural food-based things that you can do is to begin to include beet juice into your regimen, as well as a low-fat diet, especially cutting away animal products. That alone may help some of you. Beets are very, 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 very beneficial. In fact, there's a University of Minnesota study showed that 30 milligrams of beet fiber a day during 3 weeks lowered total cholesterol by approximately 10% of its initial value. And this reduction is actually greater than that achieved with other vegetable fibers such as wheat bran. So it is highly recommended that red beets frequently be included into your diet if you have cholesterol. Now, again, let me say this. If you have high cholesterol, the first thing to do is to stop eating cholesterol. If you stop eating cholesterol, it is highly likely that your cholesterol levels, your total cholesterol levels, are probably going to come down because of the lowering of the LDL, or what's called your bad cholesterol levels. That's where you're going to get cholesterol from, by eating it. Now, beets are also anti-carcinogenic. There are very, very studies that have shown, various studies and clinical trials that have shown, especially in Hungary and Germany, which cancerous tumors were actually reduced or eliminated by administering a daily dose of 250 grams of shredded beets or 300 to 500 milliliters of beet juice. And these effects of shrinking the tumor, these cancerous tumors, were produced even when the juice was boiled and concentrated to make it more tolerable to the stomach. And that suggests that whatever element that's in the beets that's causing these tumors to shrink are actually not affected by the heat. So again, beets are a very, very healthy food. We've been able to see how beets are beneficial in alkalizing the blood. They're beneficial in cancerous tumors. They're beneficial in cholesterol, and they're beneficial in anemia. So there's four different abnormalities and diseases that can be corrected just by a consistent use of beet juice. How amazing is that? Imagine that. So we're going to move right in now to, because I'm moving rather briskly, because we're running low on time. We have our last 5 minutes and to look at, and we're not going to finish this, but we may, with vitamin D. That's our next vitamin. And I won't go into much detail because we've talked about vitamin D on here enough to know. But it's the next vitamin, and as we've talked about, as we've been going through the different vitamins, looking at why these vitamins are important. Now, let's first start off by looking at some of the deficiency symptoms of vitamin D. Pyorrhea, tooth decay, rickets in children, osteoporosis, retarded growth, muscular weakness, old age, and bone problems. Deficiency symptoms primarily occur in the elderly people who do not get enough sunlight, especially those who may be confined to nursing homes. The result is lack of bone strength and density and joint pain. So one of the things that if you're having joint pain, if you're having tooth decay, bleeding gums, bad breath, osteoporosis, retarded growth, muscular weakness, one of the things that you need to look at is your sunshine levels. Are you getting vitamin D3? Going out in the sunshine is very, 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 very important. Now, the recommended daily allowance is about 400 international units a day. The optimal daily allowance is 275 international units, and the therapeutic daily allowance is about 1,000 international units. And it can be higher than that. And as we've talked about before, therapeutic dosage is up to 4,000 to 5,000 units a day for adults and half that for children. Now, vitamin D, if taken too much, can cause problems. And usually, if you're not taking, incredible amount for more than a month or so, you're not normally not going to have problems. But it's a dangerous vitamin if you take too much of it. Again, as we said earlier, the best way to get vitamin D is by exposing your body to the sunlight. Doses of about 1,800 units a day can cause stunted growth in infants and young children. High intake can also lead to a coma. And so you want to be careful in taking too much, too high, too consistently. But if you're getting out in the sunshine, you can get all the sunshine that you can bear. Also, the sources of vitamin D, as well as B12, you can get vitamin D, again, from the sunshine mainly. And one of the things that I just want to pause and point out how one of the things that we see when we talk about when you get into a discussion of vitamin D, of D2 and D3 as we have in the past, we get into a discussion of what are excessive amounts and what are inexcessive amounts, rather. And we get into what are dietary sources of D3 and D this and or B12, rather. And what we have to remember is that vitamin D3 and vitamin B12 are typically, well, up until recently, are the only two vitamins never found in fruits and vegetables. Now, leafy greens have all the vitamins except those two. However, if there is enough cobalt in the body, the bowel can actually make its own B12. Now, with new research coming out, some research is showing that there are actually some foods that actually have B12 in them in minute amounts. Now, vitamin D food sources include milk and egg yolks, but you will see many times that it's through it's been added, it's been supplemented, fortified, it'll say, with vitamin D. And as we talked about before, and the reason I'm kind of going over this in summary, because we have entire episodes we've talked about it. We've dealt with vitamin D3, we have entire segments on this. So, missing that, you can go back and listen to the archives and listen to a little bit more about vitamin D and why we recommend vitamin D3 over vitamin D2 in general. Now, we're going to get ready to close out here. We have about a minute left. Thank you for listening to me. If you missed it, if you join later, the rebroadcast or on-demand archive will be available probably within 5 to 10 minutes. If not, you can check back. It should be available in no more than 20 minutes. But usually it's available within 5 to 10 minutes after the show is over. Be sure to join me right here next week on Blue Zone Wellness. We will have an interesting show for you. You know, we're not sure yet what all will be, but we
skyrocketing healthcare and insurance
covering the top information and it's coming out. And so until next week, thank you for listening again. This visit BlueZoneWellness.org, faithfulministries.com/purpose for all of the latest information from Dr. Henry. Have a blessed day.